Welcome back to Comfort Talks Tuesdays. I'm so excited to be here on this fine Tuesday morning. Today we are getting into the Word of God. We are starting a conversation. I hope y'all are ready. I want you to grab your coffee, grab your tea. If you're driving, please be safe, and we'll be right back. Stay tuned. Welcome back to Comfort Talks Tuesdays. I am so excited to be here with you on this fine Tuesday morning. How are you guys doing? Are you guys doing well? It was a chilly couple of days in the past week or so. I believe it went down to like -2 at one point, and then it ended in like -6. All I gotta say is the cold ain't for me. Once I'm able to move to somewhere warmer, you sure will see me there. I cannot deal with the cold. It was so cold. Like, when we had to go to church because we were doing a three-day fast, and we had to go to church every single day for those few days. I'm telling you, the way the cold, like, smacks you in the face is just like, oh my days. Like, it hurts. The cold hurts. So all of you that are in Ghana and, you know, are looking for America to come, just be ready and be prepared, because this place is freezing. It is cold. -6 degrees is not normal. But yet this is what we face in America. Other like states, I felt so bad because I was like, I don't know if it was like Maine. I don't know. There was a state, one of the states, they went down to like -60 per the wind chill. And I was like, what? -60? That's crazy. And I was crying about -6. But either way, you know, we survived. Thanks be to God. And we survived. That's all, you know, that's it. We all survived. We were on a break due to some technical issues and some other issues, but today we are back and better. And today our topic is your truth versus the truth. I'm very excited to talk about this because we live in a generation that, you know, we all want to be puffed up by different sentences and different affirmations, rather than being in full restoration and full transformation by the word, with the word of God, by, you know, the word of God, by Jesus. We don't want to do that anymore. We want just simple things like, oh, you know, you're a good Christian, you're beautiful, but we don't want, like, Jesus came to save you. Jesus does not want you to, you know, stay in where, in the sin that you are in, because who the Son sets free is free indeed. That you are transformed, your old nature has died, and the new nature, you know, take up the new nature, like biblical truths. No, you know, no one wants that anymore. But today in 2023, I feel like this is one of the prime ages for us as a church, because the church is standing up, the church is speaking out, and the church is saying no more to false doctrines, and we gotta love it. So today, your truth versus the truth. I was reading this devotion. I hope y'all have a devotional. You know, it's a nice way to start your day. Mine is by Timothy Keller. Love to meet Timothy Keller. He has one on marriage, and it's beautiful. So this is God's wisdom for navigating life. So we're going to go into one of the days. I believe it was today's. Many young adults are unreligious and relativist, insisting that every person has a right to create their own moral values, and no one can tell them how to live. Yet they have deep moral convictions against racism and sexism that they insist are true for everyone. Such moral absolutes are smuggled. They don't make sense if there is no God and all morality is culturally related, relative. In wisdom's banquet, you have all the goods a human being wants: meaning, satisfaction, freedom, identity, and hope. But they are not stolen. They flow naturally out of a relationship with the Lord. And then it gives you this question. Do you have any friends who smuggle moral absolutes into a relativist worldview? How can we speak to them about it? It always ends with a question and then a prayer for you to pray about. And the question is a call to action. Like, you know, how can you help a friend out or something like that? But it's been a great devotional so far. But I love the part that it says, in our generation, many young adults are unreligious and relativists, insisting that every person has a right to create their own moral laws and values, and no one can tell them how to live. We live in an age that your truth is essentially what is true, and that we can't tell you otherwise, that your truth is the truth and everybody got to follow that truth. So because you believe that whatever truth you believe in is true, everyone else got to follow that bandwagon. But I want to tell you that today in John 14:6, Jesus is saying, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. No one is more true than the word of God. No one is more true than the word of God. So I want us to know that in this day and age, as we are in the dispensation of grace, if you don't find the truth of God, and if you don't get in the word and find Jesus, I'm telling you, you're going to be swayed by so many different doctrines and theologies within this world. You don't want to be stuck in that kind of realm. Seek truth, and the truth is Jesus. Get into the word of God. How would we know about the truth if we don't even want to spend time in the presence of the truth? Nor do we want to spend time with the truth. We don't want to know how his ways are. We don't know how God deals with mankind. We don't know how the things God loves and the things God hates, such as he does not like idols. If you read your Bible, you know that God does not like idols. You can read and see that God is a God of true character. He's holy, not just love, but he's holy. A lot of people try to just say, you know, God is love, so he can excuse my sin and, you know, I can still live in the way I'm living. No, God is a loving God. And he says he's calling through Jesus. He's calling us to repentance. You repent and then you change your ways. You don't stay in your ways. With our truth that is going around, the your truth, your truth, your truth. Every individual has their own truth. That truth requires you to stay the same. But the truth of Jesus, the way, the truth, and the life, it calls us to transform into Jesus, to transform into him, to want to be like Christ. He sets us free from all the captives and the captivity of sin. That we are no longer slaves to sin, but we are risen up. You know, we resurrected with him on the cross. Our truths change. If you say you want to be, if you are believing today, this is your truth. I'm just giving an example. If this is you today, that you are believing that you feel like a lemon, and that's your truth. You're telling me that in this world that we are in, that's what we're considering as the truth, that because you feel like a lemon, that everyone should follow along and say that you look like a lemon, or we see you as a, because now I feel like everyone is putting on like a very synthetic image. No one is real because they don't know where real comes from. They don't know their source. Some people are following God and saying, no, I don't know Jesus, but I know God. I got a relationship with God, but I don't know Jesus. I don't read my Bible. What do you mean? Like, what do you mean? I'm confused. Please shed some light. I'm confused. How can you love God but not love his son, Jesus? How can you love God and not love his son and not know the Holy Spirit? I don't know, this age that we're in, you gotta be very, 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 very close to the word of God and not fall into certain things that look like Christianity, but is not. In John 14, 6, I'm gonna read actually 5. Thomas said to him, "Lord, we don't know where you are going, so how can we know the way?" Lord, we don't know where you are going, so how can we know the way? Lord, in this day and age, I don't know where I'm going, so how can I know the way? Jesus answered, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. If you want the truth, if you want to know the way of life, if you want to know what life is, if you want to know what truth is, that is all through Jesus. No one comes to the Father except through me." So all the false doctrines out there that are saying that you can love God but not love Jesus, you can love God but yet you haven't been called to repentance, you haven't repented, you haven't said, "God, I'm Jesus, I turn my life to you and I'm taking you as my personal savior." This is telling us that you can't go to the Father except through the Son. So you got to know the Son. In the Father, you know the Son, and in the Son, you know the Father. Woo! That was a word for someone. This is how it is. You know God, you know Jesus. Jesus, you know God. And you gotta, because they're so intertwined, he says, "I and my Father are one." You can see the footprints of Jesus through creation. You can see the footprints of Jesus in the Old Testament. Nowadays, when I'm reading the Bible and I'm studying the Bible, I don't just say, you know, what's the flow of the Bible. What I'm looking for is little hints of Jesus and the comparison from the Old Testament to the New Testament, where Jesus is. The Old Testament reveals Jesus too. New Testament reveals Jesus. Slowly, they're, you know, prophecies within the Old Testament that is showing Jesus. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. So you have to know that Jesus was in the beginning. He was with the Creator in creation. Jesus is everywhere. So we gotta be so into the Word of God that you would know this stuff. It says, Thomas said to him, "Lord, we don't know where you are going, so how can we know the way?" Jesus answered, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. If you really know me, you will know my Father as well." I'm telling you, from now on, you do know him and have seen him. If you know Jesus, you see the Father. If you know the Father, you know Jesus, because that's his Son. He's been in creation all along. He's his Son. He's God. If you've seen Jesus, you've seen God. The mysteries, you've seen him. It says, "If you really know me, you will know my Father as well. From now on, you do know him and have seen him." Philip said, "Lord, show us the Father, and that will be enough for us." And then Jesus answered, "Do you know me, Philip, even after I have been among you such a long time? Anyone who has seen me has seen the Father. How can you say, 'Show us the Father'? Don't you believe that I am the Father and that the Father is in me? The words I say to you, I do not speak on my own authority," because Jesus knows who his Father is. "Rather, it is the Father living in me who is doing his work. Believe me when I say that I am in the Father, and the Father," what? "Is in me. Or at least believe on the evidence of the works themselves. Very, very true. Verily, truly, I tell you, whoever believes in me will do the works I have been doing, and they will do even greater things than these, because I am going to the Father. And I will do whatever you ask in my name, so that the Father may be glorified in the Son. You may ask for anything in my name, and I will do it." So this is the conversation between him and Philip. And he's just telling him, Philip is just like, "Yo, Jesus, like, I know you just said I am the way, you are the way, the truth, and the life, but still, I can't find God." And Jesus is like, what are you talking about? Like, I just told you that if you find me, you find the Father. So a lot of us are saying that you can't go, you know, you can love God, or you can, you know, love Christianity, but you can't love the God and the Son and the Holy Spirit. What are you talking about? They all work together. We gotta find the word and of God and literally stick so true to it, because there's a lot of things going on. The world, you know, Jesus is coming. So you got to be careful of the different things that are being said. Right now, we're influenced by social media. We're influenced by so many things around us. You need to find a godly community that have sound doctrine, that know the word of God. Not just know the word of God, but they are the doers of the word of God. And you got to find Jesus, repent of your ways, and say, and it's free to repent. It costs a lot to sin. I just want y'all to hear that a lot. Hear that again. It's free to repent. It costs a lot to sin. When you sin, it costs you your life. Sin is death. Spiritually, it's death, because the enemy, you know, is taking over you and, you know, all that. We'll talk about that later on. You don't know where you're going. You're literally going in a confused line, just trying to head to somewhere. But it's costly. When you sin, it costs you a lot. It costs you your relationship with God. And sometimes it costs even certain people around you, because your sin starts interfering with your relationships in, you know, real life. It costs a lot to sin. You lose a lot. It's not something that's just simple, like, as we're doing it. Sexual sin, it can cost you. It can bring certain things that you never asked for. You never wanted it. You didn't want it. Certain diseases, certain, like, soul ties. There's a lot. If we have to go through it, there's a lot. And sometimes you didn't ask for it. It can cost you years later on in life. If you reach that repentance and Jesus saves you, you just look back and it's just like, oh my gosh, God, I wish I listened to you more. God, I wish I, you know, found your Son. I wish I was taking this relationship so seriously before. You can start, but, you know, we love God for his restorative work through Jesus, that, you know, he saves you, and by his grace we can move forward. But it's free to repent. So if you have not been on the right path, I want today to be the new day. I want today to be the day of repentance for you. I want today to be the day that you reflect on your past and reflect on what sin has cost you in your life and say, God, I am ready to take this relationship between you and me seriously, and I'm ready to take your Son Jesus as my personal Savior. And today I want to live differently, and I know by the grace of God he will help you. And Jesus didn't die for nothing, but he died for you and me, and he died for the world so that we can be with God. We can be reconciled, you know, we can all be one with God. So I want you guys to make that decision. Have a wonderful rest of your day. Next week, we're going to be talking more about this topic, your truth versus the truth. Get in the word, and I'll see y'all later. Take care.